I spoke with basketball coach Sean Boyer, who has coached women's varsity basketball for over 7 years. Sean told me about his outlook on women's sports and explored some of the victories and failures that surround women's basketball today.
Have you seen a difference in women's basketball from when you played to when you coached and then now?
Yeah, a huge difference, I think. And I think it's kind of, it's coincided with just an increase in women playing sports and playing sports past when they're kids, because there's always been high school sports, right, as for decades, but yeah. Even when I was playing, like, either in high school, into college, there was obviously college and university sports, mm-hmm. but that's kind of that's the elite of the elite who are playing college and university, and that's a small percentage of girls who are actually playing sports are going to go on and play at that level, obviously, but there was, when I was growing up, there was, like, club soccer, and there was club volleyball, and they were popular, but they weren't hugely popular. There was practically no girls' club basketball when I was growing up, and that didn't really, until maybe, like, 15 years ago, there started to be a lot more clubs starting to pop up, and I just felt there was more girls playing the game, and I don't know what's burden on. I think there's just more, there's a change obviously in society where girls are doing more sports, girls are doing more things that have always been traditionally seen as male, and this is what boys do. And I think that's kind of been on the rise with really the millennial generation, because you had parents who were less rigid to kind of how things were when they were young, mm-hmm. and less like, oh, well, girls go into these things and boys go into these things. And millennial parents were very much the generation that has been like, girls can do whatever they want, and if we have a girl wants to play sports. So I think that has really led to more of these kids getting involved in the sport at a young age and then continuing to play it and then playing it at a competitive level. But that's really where it started to change, is probably in the last 15 years, I think.
Yeah. So when I went to the Ryerson U of T game, I was talking to the coaches after, and they said that one of the things that still needed to change was the mindset of society, because the WNBA is doing really well, but it's just people trying to grasp the idea of a women's league doing as well as a men's. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think there's such a difference, I think, and there's always been a mindset that men wanted to watch beautiful women, right, attractive women, and it was always seen as unattractive for a woman to be sweating and grunting and, you know, yeah, the things that you naturally do in sports. So yeah, it's never been, it's always just kind of been this, yeah, like, girls play sports, but there's always been this, it's not as entertaining. That's always been the thought, you know, because, oh, women aren't as athletic, they can't do the same kind of things that amaze people when watching. And that's always been around. So I think there is an increase in popularity in the WNBA because of the rise of the popularity of women's basketball overall. The college game is more popular than it's been before. Mm-hmm. And even having said that, the WNBA is still minusculely popular.
Right. Right?
Like, that's how unpopular it was in the first 10 years of it, in the 90s and stuff. And now it's like, oh, they're doing so much better. But if you take the average, if you took the crowd, I read something, I can't recall what the number was, but it was the crowd at one of the WNBA finals back in the summer, and it was like 50% of a crowd of a regular season men's game, right? And I think it's that's just the nature of how sports are looked at in America, because most professional sports are men's sports, right? And I think the only women's sport that really draws interest and money pretty often seems to be women's tennis, for whatever reason.
I was thinking that too.
And I don't know what it is about tennis, but it just seems to be something that draws more attention as a sport, maybe because it's individually, but, you know, there's not a lot of women's professional leagues, at least not ones that are well known, right? So the WNBA is one of the few well known professional women's leagues in a sport, right? There's lots of minor hockey women's leagues overseas. You know, women's sports are more popular in Europe and things like that. So I think the rise, it's hard to say what the rise in popularity is, but it's still a long way off from where it could be, and I think it's going to keep exponentially growing with each generation of people who are involved in it.
Mm-hmm. Kind of along with what you were saying, I was thinking about that last year too. Like, they had players like Brianna, Candace, and people were saying, oh, this is the best talent in the WNBA that we've ever seen. But, like, why is it still struggling so much if this is the best talent that's ever played?
Right. I think it's, and it's the same with now, is that you can compare players in men's sports, but players in all team sports are more skilled now than they have ever been. Mm-hmm. And some old school people can argue that's not true, but they don't know what they're talking about, because the reason they're more skilled is because the game is taught and coached at a higher level at a much younger age, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in basketball terms, club basketball didn't exist in the 80s and the 90s, right? You didn't have kids who had personal trainers. You didn't have kids who were going to skills camps. So you saw this explosion in ability level. If you watch a tape of 90s basketball, half the players can't shoot, right? It was about defense and rebounding and physical play in this. So this is the most skilled generation, and that's across the board. It's in football. Quarterbacks are more skilled than they've ever been. Right? And that's part of it, right? But I think the generational talents, I think the other part of it is that as good as Candace Parker is and Brianna Stewart is, and they're great players, the reason that they have been able to be more well-known, I don't think it's because of their game, because there's been lots of great women's players. Reggie Miller's sister is maybe the greatest women's basketball player ever, but she played in the 80s, right? So there wasn't a WNBA. Yeah. The difference is that we're in the social media age. Candace Parker isn't just a basketball player. She's a star.
Yeah.
She's a celebrity on social media. She does sideline reporting for NBA games, right? So she's grown bigger than just the game, and that's been the difference between the men's and women's games. The NBA, basketball is a stars sport, right? Football is a team sport. You can have stars, but it's about the team. It's about the emblem. It's about the shield, right?
Yeah.
But in basketball, like, if you have a great player, that player is your franchise, right? LeBron was the Cavaliers. Now they're the worst team in the NBA.
Yeah.
So that part of it is that's now coming into the women's game, where they're getting stars in their game who are not just great players like there's always been. You're getting these girls who understand business, understand social media, and how to use that to create this profile of themselves, right?
So kind of along those lines, do you think without the exposure, like, the WNBA would have more opportunity for branding? Like, is that the problem?
That's part of it. I mean, they were the first league, I think, to now start putting sponsorship on their jerseys, right? So they now have company names and stuff like that. They have a tough time because their league is in the summer, right? So a lot of people aren't watching TV in the summer. So, and it's hard for them to crack the networks, because the networks want to make money at the end of the day.
Right.
And if there's not enough money in women's basketball, they're not going to broadcast women's basketball, right? That's how all business works. So, they've always been up against the grain in the fact that they're playing in the summertime, when more people are outside and not watching TV, whereas men's sports dominate the fall and the winter,
right?
But it causes even the top of the top women's players who play in the WNBA, it's a relatively short season. I think it's like 2.5 months, 3 months, right? And then they go play pro overseas the rest of the year, and no one hears from them until they're back in the WNBA, right? So I think the exposure of television has to get better. Tickets obviously selling. A lot of the women's franchises are connected to an NBA franchise. They're either owned by the same guy or they play in the same arena. But then they have some, you know, like the Connecticut Sun. And it's like, you know, the only reason the Connecticut Sun exists is because UConn is, women's basketball is huge.
Yeah.
Right? There wouldn't be a pro sports franchise in Connecticut. It would be odd.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to have to keep growing.
Along the lines of what you said before, how players travel to Europe to get paid when they're not playing in the States, with our women's national team doing so well, do you think this will keep be able to keep players here, or what do we need to be able to keep them in
the country? It's hard to say, because, like, our women's team is doing well because the grassroots development of Canadian basketball has improved greatly. And I wish I could say the same about the men, but it hasn't. We're producing more Canadian men who are playing in the NCAA and making it in the NBA, but yet our national team program with the men is a disaster, and that's because most of them don't care, right? They don't care about playing for the national team. The national team can't afford, I was reading something recently, the national team can't afford to pay the insurance policy of NBA players. So then NBA players won't play for them because they can't get insurance coverage because their NBA teams won't cover them to play for another team. So there's kind of those ins and outs, and it's really like, when does the national team play? The only time the world knows about it is the Olympics.
Yeah.
That's only every you know, 4 years.
Yeah.
So that's when you see them. They play in tournaments, FIBA and things like that, and those still really aren't that popular in North America, right? Mm-hmm. They're more popular in Europe and South America and that. So even though our women's team is doing better on the national stage, it's going to take, you know, it only reminds people every 4 years when the Olympics come around, right? And I think it's actually helping them that the men's national team has not been good. So people gravitate towards winning, right? So it's like any Olympic sport, you're going to watch the people and the teams that are doing well,
right?
So I think it's gotten better because the level of talent has improved, and the coaching and all that is really interconnected at that level. I don't know if that's going to really make that much of an impact on women's basketball the rest of the year or the years in between Olympics. That I'm not sure.
Okay. So my final question for you is, when I was talking to the head coach of the University of Toronto team, she said that more female coaches should be coaching women's teams.
Yeah.
So as a male coach, as you were, would you agree with this, or what did you think that...
100%.
Yeah?
I spent half my career trying to find a female assistant coach.
Yeah.
Right? So they're... The coaching has always kind of been the domain of men, but there's been, you know, if you look at the NCAA, the vast majority of their coaches are women in the U.S. because they grow up through that program, or they went to that school, or they were an assistant, right? And I think in Canada it's a little bit different, just because of, for whatever reason, a lot of our universities can't afford to pay a full-time salary to a basketball coach. So the basketball coach actually works for the university, whether they're a prof, whether they are in the athletics department. And so they're not just hiring the person to coach a sports team. And that's where it becomes, well, we're hiring our best candidate for this job and our most experienced is a male, and then he can also coach the team. Or they hire him in some job just to get him there to coach the team, right? So that's part of it. But the bigger part, from what I've seen, is just, there's just not a lot of female coaches. There's just not enough women who played the game, and then after their playing career was done, they went into coaching. It's still much more popular with guys for whatever reason. And it's not because they're smarter or more skilled or better at it. It's just, for whatever reason, they go on to other things. And it's even hard to convince some people sometimes to be like, you know, you played, you know, you were a point guard, you saw the floor, it'd be great. And they have to get into it early and be an assistant or be a grad assistant and then move up from there. And if they're not doing that, then it takes the few and far between. And I think the other flip side of it too is that if you're going to coach at the university and college level, it's not like coaching in high school or coaching a club team. There's quite a few females who are doing that. Is that you're running a program. You have to have a certain amount of leadership in you. A certain part of you needs to be a dictator, right? And for whatever reason, sometimes that just doesn't fit the personality, right? And I think men are more drawn to being egomaniacs and being in control and being dominating. And and when you're, you know, running a program, they look for somebody who's hard-assed, right? And so the best female coaches that I have known, and my biggest coaching influence was a woman from the University of Calgary. When you saw her coach, she coached more masculinely or traditionally masculinely than most men did. She was in your face. She would yell at you. She'd pull you over. And it takes a certain personality to coach at that level. And so I think that's part of it. But the biggest thing is that there's just not enough women going into the coaching game. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's that places don't want to hire women. That could be part of it. It could be a sexist, you know, undertone to it. Mm-hmm. But there's just not a lot of them, because I've experienced it myself just trying to find one.
Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, even when I was talking to the female coach of the Ryerson Rams, she played, and she was like, yeah, it's nice because I, like, understand from a player's perspective and to a coaching perspective, but there's just not many women, like, applying or who have played that want to continue into coaching, which is part of the reason why.
Right.
Crazy.
So she sees it, right? Mm-hmm. It's across the board, mm-hmm. and it's bizarre because every university has a men's and women's team. They all have the same amount of players.
Exactly.
So they're there, but for whatever reason, they're moving on to something else when their playing career is done. Mm-hmm. And they're not gravitating back towards doing the coaching thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Weird. Huh. Well, thank you so much.